week 11, September 18th, 2016, again, our study on worshiping God in holiness. Certainly in Scripture, we understand that there are commands that instruct us that we need to sing as a part of worship. We have those examples in the New Testament. When you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, examples of as the early churches assembled, that's exactly what they did. Singing was involved. We have those examples. We have those commands. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 26. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each has a psalm? So we notice that they come together. There's an assembling there. Each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. So the idea here that we have singing involved as they assemble. Ephesians chapter 5. We'll go through these, then we'll come back and make some comments. Ephesians 5 verse 19. Again, passages that most of us are familiar with. Ephesians 5 verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Also Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3 verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So again, we'll come back to these and revisit these in just a moment. But we have these examples, we have these commands, we have the pattern there that's been set before us that we are to do as a part of our worship. It's one of the ways as worship, all worship involves expressing our devotion to God, our adoration for Him. That's what worship is, and singing is no different. It was authorized in the Bible as a way that we can praise God. And we'll look at that a little bit more in detail this morning. Another way that it's used, singing is to be done for the benefit of those in the assembly. And we'll look at that in just a moment too. So it's important that we sing because it is commanded. We understand that it is commanded. It's something that we have to follow. But we need to do it with the proper motivation as well, worshiping in spirit and in truth. We do it because it's commanded, but we do it for the right reasons as well. We need to be motivated to sing for the right reasons. That's a couple of things that we want to bring out this morning. Look at Psalm 137. Psalm 137, verses 1 through 4, as God's people had been placed in captivity in Babylon, the Babylonians here commanded them to sing. And we notice that they had a difficult time following that command because of the state that they had been placed in under this captivity. Psalm 137 verse 1. It says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept, when we remembered Zion. We hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it. For there those who carried us away captive asked of us a song, and those who plundered us requested mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? We notice that the children of God who were in this captivity didn't have the proper motivation, did they, to sing. Of course, they were sad, they were sorrowful for the condition that they were in. And they weren't motivated to sing or to play. It says there they hung their harps in verse 2. They were sorrowful for the condition they were in. They had lost their heart here. Point being that likewise in our worship today as we sing, we need to be motivated to do that. It's something that we need to be properly motivated to do. The right attitude towards God and towards our brothers and sisters as well. Not simply a cold response to a command. Again, we're commanded to do it. We need to do it because we're commanded. But we need to do it with the right attitude as well. We need to have the proper motivation to do that. Again, we have that commandment that we are to sing. Again, two basic reasons this morning that we want to look at for that proper motivation. And when we consider the proper attitude that we need to have, we'll look at two basic reasons. Number one is to praise God. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. Again, this idea that the form of singing is a form of praise to God. It's fairly clearly from this verse, it's a way that we praise God through song. Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 15. Hebrews 13, verse 15. Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Again, knowing the blessings that God gives to us each and every day should cause us to want to offer our devotion and our admiration for him. It ought to spur us to want to praise God. Which should come and flow from our lips. Singing is a type of that. It comes from our lips. It's an offering. It's a form of a sacrifice, a praise to God, given from the lips that he calls his people. Romans chapter 1. Romans 1 and verse 20. It says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Again, knowing God, knowing what he's capable of, knowing what he's done already, that ought to be enough motivation for us to sing. Because it is commanded, and because we know who God is and what he has done for us. Again, the singing is a form of an offering to God. Look at Malachi chapter 1. When we think about things that we offer up to God, we need to understand that, and we may have looked at this passage before, but we need to understand what God requires in any kind of offering that we offer unto him. Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. It says, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence, says the Lord of hosts? To you priests who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? You offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? And the answer, clearly not. Because it wasn't their best. It wasn't what was commanded of them. In singing, he expects our very best in that. Our singing to God is an offering. And we need to understand that when we give God any type of offering, we're to do that to the very best of our ability and as he has commanded. And he expects nothing less of that. To bear in mind also, as we mentioned before, being careful that as we live our lives, again, this is what we do Monday through Saturday in our regular lives, that we are to live them in such a way that we bring glory to God. That way when we come here, we can be found acceptable. When we come here and sing these praises to him, we can worship and do that in spirit and truth, as he commanded in John chapter 4 and verse 24. 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Drop down to verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We need to remember that we are offering these spiritual sacrifices. And in that, we are children of God. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We're God's people. We're his children. And as his people, we're to live our lives in accordance to his commands each and every day of our lives, not just on Sundays. And that way, when we come again to worship, our worship can be found acceptable. And as it relates to our singing, as we're singing these praises unto God, we We know that he's going to accept that based upon the way that we have conducted ourselves in obedience and in submission to his commands. Understanding how hypocritical the attitude would be if we come here and simply sing praises to God without giving him any consideration Monday through Saturday, not thinking about God at any time or giving any regard to those things that he has commanded. How hypocritical is that when we live our lives that way and then we come here on Sunday and we sing these praises on how great God is? So we need to certainly praise God in song as a part of our worship, but again, we need to do that with the proper attitude, with the proper spirit. Romans chapter 15. Romans 15, verse 8. It says, "Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, 'For this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name.' And again he says, 'Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people.' And again, 'Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples.'" Again, as we sing to God, we praise him. We glorify him in song for the great God that he is. Verse 9 says we do this because of his mercy. Verse 13 says that the God of hope should fill us with joy and peace. Again, the attitude that we need to have toward God and what it causes in us, in realizing the hope that he gave to us through his Son and that great sacrifice on the cross, that joy and that peace that we should have as a part of understanding who God is and what he has done for us. It ought to cause us to be joyful, to have peace. When you look in Psalms, it's full of characteristics of God that very clearly tell us that God is certainly worthy of our praise. We'll look at just a few of them. You could spend weeks, I guess, going through these, and we just notice a few that tell us that God certainly is worthy of our praise. Psalm 9, verse 1, says, "I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works." He can be praised because of his works. Verse 14, "That I may tell of all your praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in your salvation." He's be praised because of his salvation. Today we have that salvation through Christ that was made possible because God sent his Son to die for us. The reason that we ought to praise God, again, that motivation, the thing that ought to motivate us to praise him. 21 and verse 13. "Be exalted, O Lord, in your own strength. We will sing and praise your power." We understand that God is all-powerful. We looked at that in the beginning lessons, that he is an all-powerful God. Another reason that he should be praised, because of what he is capable of. 35 and verse 28. "And my tongue shall speak of your righteousness and of your praise all the day long." Again, God is a righteous God. His commands are righteous. If we follow those commands, we can be found righteous. Another reason that he should be praised. 42 and verse 5. "Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." Verse 11. "Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God." Again, reasons we should praise God for the salvation that he offers, for the hope that he offers. These characteristics. Psalm 47 and verse 7. "For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding." Again, he's the King. He's the ruler of all things. All things are under his control, and all things are in submission to him.
Eric, that brings out the same point that you made earlier on other points, that we're to do it with understanding. We're to be thinking about what we're saying, what we're doing. It should be meaningful to us. It's like our giving, you know, we should purpose in our hearts. We shouldn't just grab and throw. We should be concerned and thinking and reflecting back on what all God has blessed us with. Offer him something from thought and from consideration.
That's right. To properly do that in spirit and truth, we have to take those things under consideration. Good point. 63 and verse 3 says, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Again, we know that God is full of loving kindness. A couple more. 99 and verse 3. Let them praise your great name and awesome name. He is holy. Again, God is pure. He is holy. He is free from sin. He's a great God and, again, should be praised. 106 and verse 1. Praise the Lord. I'll give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Again, he's a good God. He's full of goodness. He's full of mercy. He's full of forgiveness. And we should praise him because of these things. One more, 139 verse 14. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Again, he is the creator of all mankind, everything that is on the earth, in the earth. God is the creator of all these things. Knowing these things should motivate us to want to praise him. And even in the book of Psalms, it tells us here that singing is a way that we can accomplish that in praising him. Psalm 147 verse 1 says, praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. Again, singing is a form of praise. 104 and verse 33. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. And 146 and verse 2. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Again, in singing, we are able to offer praise to God. And very clearly in Scripture, we're given reasons that ought to motivate us to do that. In singing, with the understanding that Mark mentioned, we understand what God has done for us, what he continues to do for us, what he is able to do. And very clearly, we know that he is worthy of our praise. Of course, no greater reason than the sending of his son to die for our sins should we praise him. Another reason given in Scripture that we want to look at real quickly this morning for our singing is not only to praise God, but it's for the benefit of one another as well, for the teaching and the admonition, the edifying of one another in order to teach and admonish one another. Look back at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3 and verse 16 again. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Again, very clearly we are told here that we are to sing in order to teach and admonish one another. Singing is not only a means of praising God, but it, again, is for the teaching and the admonition, the warning, the exhortation of one another. When you look at the way that God designed worship, each act of worship has a purpose, and each act of worship benefits the brethren. Singing's no different. We have a benefit for ourselves in that as well, if we do it properly. When you look at the context of chapter 3 in Colossians, it's similar to what we find in Ephesians chapter 5 that we'll look at in just a minute. It's the idea that Christ is our head, that he set the standard for us in everything that we do in our lives, and we should submit to him. The idea that as Christians we ought to be in the business of putting away this old man, putting on the new man, living our lives in subjection to Christ. Let's read real quick through this. Again, just to get the context. Colossians 3 and verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also appear with him in glory. Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. For there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Again, the context we see as we sing, not only are we praising God, but we consider these things that we have put off, these things that we are to avoid, and these new behaviors, these new attitudes that we are to have as Christians. And we're to help one another with that. We all have our struggles. We may struggle with different things in our lives. But in singing, we're teaching, we're admonishing, we're exhorting one another, we're encouraging one another to follow the ways of Christ. It's very clearly one of the things that we're doing as we sing.
Brother, I'd like to read a couple of verses here, if you don't care.
Go ahead.
This is in Ephesians 5, verse 19. It says, speaking to one another in psalms and in hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to God even the Father, and be subject one another in fear of Christ.
Again, that idea that we're speaking to one another, we're to be submitting to one another.
Right.
That's a good point. As Mark mentioned a minute ago, if we're teaching and if we're admonishing one another, then we need to understand what it is that we're singing, what it is that we're saying in these songs. In 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15, I will sing with the Spirit and I will sing with understanding. We need to understand what it is that we're singing. We need to understand it ourselves, but we need to sing also in such a manner that those who hear our singing can also understand, so that teaching and admonishing can take place. In the denominational realm especially, you see too many times these concerts, these special vocal performances or whatever you want to call them done in place of congregational singing. A lot of music that takes place. And the focus comes off the teaching and admonishing that needs to take place, and the focus goes upon the entertainment factor. How many people can we get in our building today by having whoever come up front in concert or whatever you want to call it? God's very clearly defined the purpose of singing, to praise Him, to teach and admonish one another. And when that purpose is not met, then it's sin. We're not adhering to those things that God has clearly commanded. We're ignoring or we're disregarding God's purpose when we do that. Ephesians chapter 5 again is Nathan just read. In singing, we are to be filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, we know that He has revealed all things in God's Word through the prophets, through the apostles later. We have all the great things that the Holy Spirit has revealed to us about God. We know that we are to know and study these things. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So again, we are to know the word of God. We are to put it in our hearts, to study it daily. And then we know these things about Christ. We know these things about God. It should cause us, again, to have that love and admiration for God. It should cause that response to want to praise Him. Verse 19 tells us also that we are, again, speaking to one another. And as we mentioned a moment ago, if we're speaking to one another, we need to realize the emphasis needs to be placed on the words that we are singing, sung in such a way as to all can understand. Go ahead.
It's responsibility of every individual Christian to sing.
Right.
You can't sing for me, so if I come to listen to you sing, I'm missing the whole point.
It's not an option.
No.
It's not an option. We have the ability to do so, we're to do it. Absolutely.
But if we have good singing, we'll always hear good preaching.
Again, the emphasis is not on how well I can sing. There's a lot of people here who can sing a lot better than I can, obviously. But the emphasis is on the motivation and why I'm singing. And how well do I, based upon my ability, how hard do I go at it? Am I giving it the very best that I can possibly give it? Again, when you look at the context of Ephesians chapter 5, you see the similarities here chapter 3, Paul here is instructing the brethren at Ephesus and how they should walk as children of God. Let's read. Verse 1 says, "Therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." Again, we need to walk as Christ would have us walk. Let's read through this real quick and kind of notice how it compares and the similarities that we find from this passage as well as Colossians chapter 3. Let's begin in verse 3. It says, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, no covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you life. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Again, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Again, that context of the old and the new, the things that we are to stay away from, the kind of life that we are to lead. And when we're singing, we realize that we're speaking to one another, encouraging one another, again, to lead the type of life that Christ would have us lead. Again, the context is there that we understand in singing. We are to teach, we are to instruct, we are to warn one another about these dangers of sin and what they can do to us, how they can pull us back into the world. Again, it's an individual duty, as Bernice mentioned. It's something that each are to do as individual Christians. We're to do that when we come together. We have that responsibility to God and that responsibility as well to one another. We have that duty. Any questions or comments on that? We are to speak again in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. God's given us the types of songs that he wants us to sing. We're not free to sing country music or rock and roll or pop or anything else. He's very clearly outlined the types of songs that he wants in worship. And that's because of the purpose that he designed it for what these songs accomplish. They accomplish praising him. They accomplish the type of teaching and admonition that needs to take place. When you go through sometime, you can go through Strong's or whatever concordance that you like, and you can see the definitions of these songs. These hymns, spiritual songs, psalms, and see why they were designed, purpose behind them. And again, the purpose is that they meet the commands that God has designed for us in singing. Verse 19 again says, singing, when we do that, we are to make melody in our heart to the Lord. And again, as we offer song to the Lord, it is again to come from the heart, based upon the proper motivation. If we're simply moving our lips or doing so without any understanding, we're doing it for the wrong reasons. And of course, we know that God is not going to be pleased with that. Look at Psalm chapter 66. Psalm 66. Psalm 66 and verse 1 says, "Make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing out the honor of his name, make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your works. Through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves to you. All the earth shall worship you and sing praises to you. Then shall sing praises to your name." Verse 1 says there, to make a joyful shout. The King James Version, I think, says, make a joyful noise. So we need to understand that as we sing, that God hears this as a joyful noise. something, again, that he desires. It's a joyous sound to God. So as we sing, we need to understand who our audience is. We're not only singing to one another or singing to ourselves, we're singing to God, the great God that created, that is the creator of all things, the one that sent his son to die for us. That's who we're singing to. We need to keep that in mind as we sing, and again, do that to the very best of our ability. Again, we'll make mention of this real quick. We don't have a lot of time to spend on it, but there's no mention, and Donnie, I think, has done several lessons on this. There's no mention of musical instruments. In the New Testament, as we gather to worship and offer song to God, there's no mention of musical instruments in that singing. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 tells us that Christ has all authority in all things. Colossians 3 and verse 17 says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. If we're doing things based upon the authority of Christ, then we do things the way that Christ said to do. He told us to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in our hearts. There's no mention there of any kinds of musical instruments. God specified singing, and he specified only singing. We use our song books. We use pitch pipes oftentimes to aid us in following this command. Musical instruments are not aids, they're additions. We've done studies in the past. Larry and CL did, I think last year, a good study on the aids and what is an aid, what is an addition. Musical instruments change the command of God from singing to playing and singing. They produce different sounds. They produce another kind of music that God did not command. Psalm 19. Psalm 19 and verse 13. Just keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Point being that we are not to act presumptuously. To do so is sin. We're not to be so arrogant as to think that we know what God desires. God's told us what he desires. He's told us what he expects. We're to stick to that and nothing else. The attitude is arrogant when we try to add to and say that God would accept this. Maybe he would accept this. We know that God would accept this. We know what God will accept, and we know it based upon what he has told us in his word. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We looked at the example of Cain and his sacrifice in Hebrews 11 and verse 4. That Cain's offering was rejected because it was not done by faith. We know that faith comes by hearing the word of God. Well, likewise, in our offering praise to God through song, we are to do so by faith based upon what is revealed in God's word and nothing else. Not to add to anything else. Again, the command to sing has been revealed. That's all that's been revealed. And the addition of musical instruments or anything else, again, has not been commanded by God. Again, clearly we are commanded to sing. And as we stated earlier, to not do that is sin. So we need to participate to the very best of our abilities and realize and understand why we do it. Any questions?